We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the program. Hey, coming up Thursday night, I'm excited about this. Going to be at Joe Mama's Bar and Grill in Colgate, which is right up there off of 164. It's just south of Slinger in that area, just north of Sussex. If you know where that roundabout is, there's a Snap Fitness and a Lake 5 Dentistry and the mobile station right there all in that corner. And then you go west a little bit and you go around Lake 5. Well, right before you get to the streets that lead you around Lake 5, there's a bar called Joe Mama's. Big biker bar. Really cool place. A beautiful place. Great parking lot. Great view. And going to be there coming up Thursday night. It's 4600 County Line Q in Colgate is the road. County Line Q, 4600, and it's just west of 164. Can't miss it, right there over the next to the mobile station. We're going to be there Thursday night from 6 to 8. Join us for the Bill Michaels Huddle, our first venture there. I'm excited about this. Come on out and say hello. Joining us here in studio, Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. And Mike, this is about as much a must-win game as the Packers have looked at in a while, short of the postseason.
Yeah, I think so. Because to me, this Packers team is a 2-3 team, not 2-2-1. They should have won that game against the Vikings. They should have lost that game against the Vikings. And the Vikings had a field goal kicker that day. He got fired the next day after going 0-3 and missing a chip shot to win the game. So the Packers have a lot of things to prove, and they're not going to get a very good opponent tonight because they're so banged up. One of the issues I think that is, we'll be watching tonight, is that Brian Bulaga, the right tackle, got put up on the injury list last week with a knee injury. And Mike McCarthy said, nah, I'm not concerned about it. There was a Saturday morning press conference that McCarthy held. You know, during the regular season, it's very restricted about what you can see at practice.
Right.
I mean, there's like maybe 10, 12 periods, and you don't get to see any of the real scrimmaging or team, sometimes a little bit of the scout team. It's mostly drills. It's really become just more of a photo op. The teams are so concerned about things getting out of hand, even not only scheme or game plan, but personnel and injuries. So as they were kicking out the media from the last practice the other day, most of the guys were, all right, okay, fine, we get it. We got to go. They're out the door. And there was one cameraman from Channel 2 up in Green Bay who was still kind of breaking down his stuff. And all of a sudden, he sees the cart go up, and there's Jason Spriggs laying on the ground. Hello, the backup right tackle. Wait a minute. Brian Bulaga is already listed as limited with a knee problem. This would be your backup. And they had to cart Spriggs off the field. So Mike McCarthy was asked at the next press avail on Saturday morning, what's the status of your backup right tackle, Jason Spriggs?
Had a little setback here in practice, so we're still looking at him, see how he goes through today and tomorrow.
They don't usually get the cart out for little setbacks. I mean,
No, I wouldn't think so.
And unless for Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, got carted off the field, went in the locker room, then came back in the second half and beat the Chicago Bears in the best quarter that this offense has played, the fourth quarter of that game. Usually it's something pretty serious, but Spriggs is listed with an ankle injury, so we'll be keeping an eye on that tonight.
I understand that Spriggs, and now he has not played great, but
I don't know anybody else you want to stick out there at tackle.
That's just what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
You're already thin, you know?
Even though the 49ers are a banged-up team, they do have some pretty good pass rushers on that team from the tape that I've seen.
And in addition to that, you're also a team that right now is being flagged at a tremendous rate. Your offensive line's been flagged quite a bit as well.
A lot.
You know, you talk about frustrating right now.
Well, and the penalties like Josh Jones, the safety who wants to play more as a second rounder, but You know, his head hasn't been in the game, and Dom Capers used him a lot last year, moved him around, and he ended up getting burned a lot in coverages, particularly when the Packers played the Vikings. Then they put him on special teams, and he's almost leading special teams with penalties. He gets behind the runner in that 65-yard kickoff return from Ty Montgomery and draws a holding penalty. I mean, there's some penalties that have killed this team and taken them out of the game early. So, you know, when Mike McCarthy first got into Green Bay, 2006, 2007, Ted had brought in an awful lot of draft picks and undrafted guys who were really rowdy, like really flying around the field. And they weren't a mature bunch, but they were a physical bunch. And that's how you ended up going 13-3 in 2007 in what it turned out to be Favre's last year. But they had a lot. So McCarthy did a pretty good job then of sort of turning things around and getting these guys to settle in. And so he was asked the other day, do you think you could pull that off with this group and what you did 10 years ago to reduce penalties in the middle of the season?
No, I think every season's different. I mean, it's obviously players are different than we were back then. Everybody has a training process, and you have to have adjustments in that process to get the, you know, the flow going where you need to go. So we've addressed it. You know, we've got to be, you know, more disciplined, particularly in, you know, the pre-snap penalties and things like that. There's no excuse for that. So we need to knock those out, but just continue to work the techniques of each and every, you know, position, and you look at the common threads of each penalty. I mean, they're broken down every week, so it's not like it's something that just popped up. So, and that's football.
But you know what, Mike McCarthy is, that's his cliche. All of a sudden, he just keeps saying that's football. No, it's not. There's discipline football or just football. I get it. If you got an aggressive penalty, that's one thing. You know, hands downfield, you know, pass interference, things like that. The taunting penalties, the false start penalties, the penalties from, I'm going to call them what I call preparation penalties. That's where you start to get frustrated. I always forget. Look, you get handsy downfield, it's kind of a give or take. I get it. You have a taunting penalty, standing over a guy screaming at him. Yeah, those are stupid penalties.
Yeah. When that was a controversial call, I didn't understand that. I didn't think he was taunting. It was just,
oh yeah, the minute the play happened, I said you're going to get fined or you're going to get penalty.
So?
And then sure enough, the flag flew. Just, you cannot. It's one thing if you scream at a player, you know, you go back and forth, you jaw jack a little. You can't stand over him.
Isn't it funny though?
You had your legs spread over the guy screaming at him down.
The league has let TD celebrations come back in.
Yep.
But God forbid you look at some guy, you know. An awkward eye for
two seconds. I get it.
The Packers, they're near the top in the league for penalties and for yardage lost, and I think it's cost them a couple of football games. As a matter of fact, they're second in the league for holding penalties. That's kind of out of desperation, don't you think? Holding penalties.
Yep.
So McCarthy was asked about, what about the holding penalty problem in particular? How do you address that?
We're up there in a couple things. So, I mean, it's like what I just said. I mean, you look at them each and every week, and some calls you agree with, some you don't, but that's irrelevant. You just look at every – I mean, there's calls that may not have been called, too. I mean, we look at those. I mean, that's why you grade the technique of every play, of every player, every play. So, and that's the way we've always done it. And so it's a part of the game of football, and we just got to control the things that we can control, and that's work on our fundamentals and techniques.
So the Packers keep playing from behind. The offense is not – they win the toss, they defer the kick, and then the other team scores.
Right.
Or worse, you know, it's three and out when they get the football, and there's no offense per se in the first quarter, second quarter of these games. And at some point that puts a pressure on defense. Now – yeah, it was 24-0 at halftime in Detroit against the Lions last week. But the guys on defense would like you to point out that, you know, three of those scores were on 31 yards combined offense. In other words, our offense and bad special teams keep giving up the football. And, you know, I mean.
No, I got it.
They did it in 31 yards. So we had this discussion with Clay Matthews about, you know, when you're the defense and you're playing from behind, that's got to reduce your chances on going after the quarterback like Josh Allen when you had seven sacks against the Bills, right?
Well, I mean, it's obviously difficult in the simple fact that you can't run exactly what you want to run. I mean, every team wants to be up or be on the opposite side of the ball, in which case you can kind of dictate what you'd like to run and keeping them on their heels. I mean, you saw with the Buffalo game. I mean, obviously, we're playing a rookie quarterback, and you can say whatever you'd like, but, you know, when you have the lead, you can kind of dictate what you run on defense, throwing looks. But, you know, last week, you look, obviously, they're going to run the ball. They're going to mix it up with play action. Ball's coming out under – you know, between 2 and 2.5 seconds, and it makes life hard for the defense. But it's really no excuse. You know, our defense needs to find a way to create those turnovers, as I said. Stop them, three and out, get the ball back to our offense. Because, I mean, you saw what they were able to do in the second half. I mean, over 500. You look at the stats altogether, you think, you know, you like to think that that game should have came out in our way. But, you know, too many mistakes, too many, you know, just too many breakdowns. But, yeah, I mean, playing in a hole is never fun, but I mean, it's part of the NFL. You're not gonna win every game, and you're gonna be in, you know, situations where you're down.
Packers defense right now, like, ranked in the top 12 or 13 for most points allowed, depending on yesterday's stats to add in there, and they're in the top 5 for least amount of yardage allowed.
Because you don't have to go far.
That's right.
You know, you get 3 series for 31 yards, you're shutting them down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it.
Exactly.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. More in studio here with Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio, breaking down the Green Bay Packers. We got more right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I think I just listed 8 guys on offense who aren't going today. You know, so that's 8 out of 11. You know, there's already 2 on IR, which make it 10 out of 11. So regardless of any situation you're in, I think that's something I haven't been a part of much in my entire career.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels' show is on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. We also have Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio, who is here with us today, joining us here in studio. And, Mike, you know, we talked about the necessity to win this game. You talk about, you know, the Cardinals not being a very good football team coming into this. I know you heard from Clay about playing from behind on defense. I can't imagine the Packers getting far behind in this game. It's just, you know, the 49ers just not a good football team.
You know, I've watched tape of all their games, and they were off to a great start. And I thought they had a great pass rush. They were making some plays in the secondary with quarterbacks who were a little bit out of sync. Garoppolo goes down. This Beathard kid, this C.J. Beathard at quarterback, is not bad, but he's thrown some bad picks, and he's out of sync with his wide receiver crew. And as Kyle Shanahan said there, as he goes from offensive coordinator for the Falcons in a Super Bowl to head coach under John Lynch, the famous the former great safety and you know, color announcer for Fox. You know, he's got 16 players on his injury list. For some reason, the team is just ridiculously banged up, including Joe Staley, left tackle, who's going to be lining up against either Nick Perry or Clay Matthews. And so, you know, this kid, this backup, doesn't have a lot of time to throw as well. But, you know, so they'll make some big plays. They'll get some pass rush. They can create some turnovers. But they've been giving up the turnovers the last couple of weeks. They came within 2 points of beating the Chargers. I think the Chargers are a good football team. But they fell behind and they lost, as you mentioned, to Arizona Cardinals by 10. So Shanahan was asked, you know, if he could figure out, even though your team is banged up, what do you come out of your 28-18 loss in Arizona?
A number of things. CJ's got to protect that ball better and not let guys get hands on it. I think we can get open faster, and I think we can block better to give them a little bit more time, and we can call better plays to get guys open so it's not as hard. So a little bit of everything, but we are very well aware that our 5 turnovers last week cost us the game, and that wasn't just last week. If you ever do that, that'll be pretty much every week. So we got to get that fixed, and we also got to get our hands on the ball a little bit more, too, to help us.
And the 49ers are in total rebuild mode. But they brought in a couple of veterans like Richard Sherman, Mr. Legion of Boom. Mr. Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to throw his direction an entire game just a couple of years ago. Remember that game?
Right.
So Richard was asked about, well, you know, you got a long young players and you've lost your quarterback and a couple of other, you know, they're running back. Breida's not going to be in this game. He's on the injury report. And so Richard was asked, is the fact that you guys are 1-4 because you got so many young players still learning how to play in the NFL?
That's the tough part for me, because I don't think of youth as an excuse, as, you know, some people do. So I'm pretty tough on guys a lot of times and a lot of plays, because, you know, when you're young, you can still play at a high level. And a lot of young guys do play at a high level. I think that just gives people an excuse, an easy excuse, and I don't give them that same excuse. As a competitor, as a person who wants to win every game going forward, you got to make sure guys stick together and stay focused on task at hand, and don't start to lollygag and get loosey-goosey and think, oh, man, you know, woe is me kind of deal. And I think the coaching staff has done a great job, you know, Kyle and even John coming in and speaking to them and making sure they understand that there's a sense of urgency that guys need to continue to have.
People remember Richard Sherman,
yeah,
for the rant that he had with Aaron Andrews and
mm-hmm.
being loud and coming up to Aaron and saying, you were trying to throw to me, were you? You know, those kinds
right.
of things. I love Richard Sherman. I usually don't like pro wrestling type, you know, football players.
Right.
But because this guy has always backed it up. He's made some unbelievable key plays in clutch situations in playoff games, and he's smart as can be. He's smart as can be. And if he's taken an opponent and your quarterback sucks, he'll say that at the press conference.
Right.
But when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, he's always said, oh, man, Aaron Rodgers, he's the real deal. Totally right. respects 12. And so Richard was asked over the weekend, why is Aaron Rodgers so great?
Everything that makes any quarterback great. He's really smart. He has great control of the offense. He can change a play at the line if that's what he's feeling. He cannot give him any play, and he has a rapport with the wideouts that's good enough. Well, you know, in the years that I've played him, he had a rapport that's good enough that they kind of knew what he was thinking. He's great at manipulating the pace of the game. You know, if he sees you sub and they don't sub, then he'll hurry to the line and get a penalty and get a free play. He's the king of the free play. He's great at understanding tempo. He doesn't seem to care about the bad knee or anything. He still takes his time. If he wants to take a shot down the field, he takes it. You know, they're predominantly quick game in the first place. Initially, it's always been that way. You know, but he just makes some shots. He makes some deep developing
I mean,
plays.
Bill, Richard Sherman's more articulate than half the position coaches in the NFL.
Right.
Smart football player.
Yep. No doubt. Real quick before I let you go, Mike. So we talked about this thing being kind of a must win, and we you know, obviously about you know, the Packers offensively, they need to kind of get this thing going. They need their starters back. Geronimo, Devontae, Randall. Now you know you have Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now you know Equanimeous St. Brown can catch passes
and make a play.
So and make a play. We were talking earlier about the run game. I'm looking for this thing to really. Depending on Aaron's knee tonight, I'm looking for this thing to start to click. If these guys are all back, I'm looking for finally this thing needs to start clicking.
It gets into this question about Aaron Jones, and why wasn't he on the field in the second half in a game where you go in at halftime 24-0? It's, well, we don't like him as a pass protector. No, that's your best player in the field. If you saw yesterday's game between the Dolphins and the Bears, the difference was when the Dolphins, you know, Brock Osweiler, is finding number 15 over the middle on a couple of slants. They find a fast guy who can cut up the middle, the fastest player, a guy who can make a difference, who scored twice on the Bears yesterday. And Aaron Jones is that kind of guy. Get the ball in this guy's hands. Jimmy Graham's not making these plays. Devontae seems to have double coverage. You know, back in 2014 when you ended up playing the Seahawks in the NFC Championship, but that was a season where the Packers – they led the league in scoring. They were up
right.
by 14 every week, right? And Aaron Rodgers was asked, what was the difference between that season and this year is why you guys are off to such slow starts when it comes to scoring?
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good year for first half scoring, especially. I spent a lot of fourth quarters on the sideline out here, as I remember. But I think we got to keep being aggressive early on and just be a little more detailed and focused from the start. You know, we've played some pretty damn good second half football. You know, a lot of it's been in trailing situations. We need to find that mindset at the start, and you know, like I said, be a little more detailed and have some better execution in the beginning.
I guess I'm surprised that they don't run their muddle huddle or no huddle a little earlier in
There's no
games?
Sense of urgency early on. And I guess there shouldn't be. I mean, if you're running scripted plays, you should be able to master what it is you're supposed to do. But it seems like it's always they're down by a couple of scores, and then they go to the quick rhythmic passes, get things in sync, start to move the football. I can't put my finger on it. It just there's talent. It's not like there's not talent. When he keeps when you hear Aaron Rodgers say, "Well, you know, I think we need to get to detail and this and that," and my question always is, "What does that mean? What does that mean? Are you does it mean guys are running bad routes? Are you just trying to throw your guys under the bus without throwing your guys under the bus? I mean, when you talk about the detail, is it running the details that you want as opposed to what the coaches want? I mean, I don't know what that means."
And although Davante Adams has got a touchdown catch for 4 of 5 games so far this season, he's got 26 receptions in the last 2 years. He's tied with Antonio Brown for that same period. He's 25 years old, and he's from the Bay Area. It just doesn't seem like this guy is being used, or they're getting him open, or getting the ball to him, or getting plays that feature Davante Adams, so that he should be, the top-ranked receiver in the NFL. And he was also asked, "Hey, Richard Sherman might be up there, line up against you. You know, do you get up when you got to face a famous veteran like that?"
"I don't get up. I don't get up. He can definitely still play. I don't get up for anybody. I mean, I don't see anybody on my schedule and go, I can't wait to play this guy. I mean,
you think they think that way about you?"
"I hope that they should, or the other way around, but." It'll be good. It'll be a good matchup either way. He can still play. Definitely have a lot of respect for him as a player.
Cool part about Davante Adams is the other day at practice, during those drills that we were talking about earlier in this segment, there's a couple of receivers on the practice squad, and he's over there showing them footing.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's got some of the best footwork, they say, in the league. And he's out there showing guys that aren't even on the active. But when a veteran does that, he's only 25, but when a veteran does that, maybe that makes some of those 4th and 5th and 6th round picks also pay a little bit more attention too. Like, look at this guy. He's over. Mm-hmm. He's not only our best receiver, he's over there teaching these guys. They're going to be out to try and compete against us. So Davante has really grown into a tremendous leader. Big shoes to fill behind Jordy Nelson. But Davante Adams is the real deal. They just need to get him the football more.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got his work cut out for him with Richard Sherman. But also, as he had said, look, he still can play, but he's an older guy. You know, and I still think Davante is, he's not a burner, but he's still athletic enough to go get it. And if you get into crisp route running, and he's good at it, as you had mentioned, he still should have openings.
They got Richard Sherman, they got Witherspoon, Greg Maben, Quan Williams. Those are the guys that'll probably be out there in combination trying to cover Davante and Randall if he gets back on the field tonight. We'll see.
You think he makes it back tonight?
I think so, actually.
Yeah.
Because he was limited all week, and it's been a while since he's been out with a hamstring.
Yeah,
probably a game time decision, Bill.
Yeah, if they don't need him, I wouldn't play him. Just my thought. Keep him for a couple of weeks, let him completely rest up, and get him back because you're going to need him come L.A.
Better
and New
make
England,
sure you get a win at home, man.
Yeah, you better get a win at home
because you get your bye week.
Yeah.
And tonight at about 11 o'clock, everybody in the locker room will be talking about Cabo. I'm going to Cabo.
Right.
They've already got their plane tickets. That's the only thing I can understand why this locker room was so boisterous this past week, even after a humiliating loss to the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, oh man,
we get through this week.
Yeah, just
get through this week.
Yeah. So, but they better load it. They better put it on tonight on Monday Night Football.
Gonna go ahead and take a quick break. Final segment, wrapping things up next to the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.